Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I'll be joined by Kedrick Prince and Brad Sturdy as we talk about the Illini's disappointing 76-67 loss to the Maryland Terrapins at the State Farm Center. A little bit surprising, but then when you look at what Maryland has done against Brad Underwood, they have been a thorn in his side, particularly in Champaign. And today was no different. We will be right back in a minute.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Welcome back. This is Mike Kegley here with Kedrick Prince, as promised. We're going to talk a little bit about Illinois' defeat to Maryland, 76-67. If you saw any of my tweets at Mike Kegley before the game, I noted that Maryland has been the one team in the league that has had Brad Underwood's number. And Illinois, they have caused all sorts of problems for Illinois. And I was worried that just this matchup, I don't like Coleman Hawkins as a five against guys the size of Reese and certainly Zach Edey. I think that he is a phenomenal player, but when you get these truly aircraft carrier posts, that is an awful lot that you are asking Coleman Hawkins to do. So it's one of those very interesting moments, and I was very concerned that that was going to be a problem. And the Terps played today like they were Michigan State that was expected when they were ranked number five. They were physical. They had a big guy on the inside. They had a guard who could control pace of the game so they could go in and out. And I just thought that it was a well-designed game plan from Maryland, and they took care of what they needed to take care of to cause Illinois that problem. And again, I am one of the, Ked and I are two of the biggest Coleman Hawkins backers in the media. And we will again say, we think he's a great player, but there are some matchups that styles make fights. And I just think that I would have preferred to have Guerrier or Danger try to check Reese most of the time. And then on top of it, Reese could have easily had three fouls at the half with landing on Danger's head, but somehow is not a foul. And he had a couple two-hand pushes in the first half. And again, a slightly different game. He could have had three fouls, and it's a totally different game. But it wasn't, and Illinois didn't make any changes, and so Maryland did the right thing. They kept going into the paint saying, well, until you stop it, we're going to keep doing it. So this was kind of one of those games where Illinois just didn't adjust as much as what I would have liked to have seen. And Maryland somehow, to be 9 points down when you shoot 9 for 40 in a half is pretty amazing. It was just a rough go of it for the Illini. if you were going to ask me to predict these last two games, I would have said, you know, 2-0, but maybe 1-1. I probably would have said Michigan State's the team that's going to beat Illinois. I would not have thought Maryland, but Maryland's got a track record of somehow elevating when they come to Champaign. Ed, what are your thoughts?
Well, I want to start with the Coleman Hawkins thing. Because we are making comments about Coleman Hawkins, it doesn't mean we're bashing him.
Oh, no.
You know, and I want people to get that out of your head. I mean, we can make comments and give feedback and critique what we see. And I'm telling you, what Maryland did and Purdue did, Michigan State doesn't have a good enough center. I would do the same thing to Coleman Hawkins because he is a four-man, and it works great on the offensive end. I mean, it really and truly does. But the fact of the matter is, it was tough for him. It was really, really tough for him to defend. When he got his first foul, I would have went to Dane right away. But for some reason, there's a reason he's not playing. And I don't want to hear people tell me about this defense all the time. Don't want to hear it. Don't text it. Don't call me. I don't want to see it. Because he makes the same defensive mistakes as everyone else. That kid got in the game and immediately he was effective, made free throws. Dixon went up for shots. He altered shots because he's long. Okay, but for some reason, it doesn't matter. Then when Coleman found out, we went even smaller. I just don't understand. And you know what? I feel bad. I don't know what the future is going to hold, but it's tough because the fact of the matter is, I think he's not the reason that they lost the game. But I'm just saying what you're saying. Coleman Hawkins is a great – he has made strides, probably the most improved player, one of the top five improved players in the conference. But you're asking him to guard guys that are 7 foot, 4 or 5 inches that are true post players and not to get in foul trouble or just to give layups up. Because if I'm you know, scouting Illinois and I have a true big, I'm going to do it. I'm going to continue to do it, which makes it tough. The officiating to me didn't cost him the game. Yeah, there were some horrific calls. It didn't cost him the game. My thing with Illinois today, I think it was college basketball. I think they were snake bitten. You cannot miss that many layups. People can tell, okay, you missed Terrence Shannon. You know what? You didn't miss Terrence Shannon the other 3 or 4 games that they won. They just had an awful night. It wasn't their night, and it wasn't anything that Maryland did. They just, things that they were making typically to win games, they were missing. When was the last time you seen Quincy Guerriere miss 4 layups? Or Marcus DeMass, who still had a great game, miss that many layups? Or Coleman Hawkins knocked down the 3? It just wasn't happening. Justin Harmon to only have, 2 or 3 points. It's just one of those games, and it stinks because, like you said, Maryland has their number, and they could be the reason again, because it's happened twice, why they don't win the Big Ten, because they lose to Maryland again.
Yeah, and I don't think the refs caused it, but I do think, like I said, you get a reputation in this league, and I think Reese got some calls that you would expect of a guy who's been in the center position for a year or two, and he got a lot of calls that you know, benefited them. Kofi had his games where he would go to the free throw line, you know, 10, 12 times, and other teams would be mad that they thought Kofi was getting the foul calls, and that was good for Illinois. And we know Zach Edey, you know, he can hit a guy with an elbow in the head and give him a concussion and not get a foul called. So there's just certain guys who get the fouls, and Reese is going to get one. And, you know, Luka Garza got great calls. Kofi got really pretty good calls for the balance of his career. Zach Edey's gotten great calls. Reese seems to be the next one in line who's going to get a little bit better treatment than the rest of the league. It is what it is. I will say, though, that the shooting of Illinois was off. And you know, when you start off, I think at one point they were 3 for 22 to start the half. And that's where Maryland was able to open up the lead. And I think what Maryland did really well that a lot of teams don't do, and I'm going to sound like a football coach now, but what Maryland did so well is when Illinois wasn't scoring, Maryland would put points on the board, and they would you know, not turn over the ball without getting a shot. They wouldn't always score, but they'd get a shot up, and that gives you opportunity for offensive rebound, gives you an opportunity to make a basket. And Illinois found themselves, you know, battling from 8 points down And that's not an easy place to be, especially when Reese has more and more confidence. Young was playing with more and more confidence as the game went on. And to Maryland's credit, despite Illinois being in the one-on-one for the last 4 minutes of the game, Maryland was able to not only, you know, keep that lead, but they were able to expand the lead. And I thought they played very well down the stretch of the game. And Young was fantastic. He played every minute. He didn't come out of the game. 28 points. Now, it wasn't the most efficient in the world with 24 points, 24 shots needed to get you there, but it was still quite a performance. And he made some incredibly difficult shots when Illinois had good defense. And sometimes you just have to tip your hat to the other team and say, you know, when it came down, you know, we played well and you played better, and that's life.
That's all it was, Mike. I mean, and it's hard for, you know, people to accept that. I mean, I'm not happy that they lost by any stretch of the imagination, but you know what? You're right. You have to tip your hat to them. You know, they made plays and Illinois didn't. I mean, if they played them tomorrow or 2 days from now, Illinois probably wouldn't shoot that way. I mean, I wouldn't change anything that they do except for me. And I know people aren't going to like it. You know, hope I don't upset the coaches, but I'm sorry, Dame will be playing for me. I'm just, there's too many of the valuable things. You know, there was a play, you know, I revert back to the Michigan State game when there was a pick. Dame didn't even try to go out and cover what Walker scored on. I get that. I really and truly do. Because you do have to change your defensive strategy when he's in the game. But boy, he brings a lot to the table defensively in the paint, in the post, because he can block shots. He's a big body. People aren't able to just score on the top of him. And I think he would alter some of those layups. I really do. Or second chance, you know, points. Because today, when I'm a big 50-50 guy, you've heard me on these podcasts before. I knew when the ball went out of bounds on Quincy to hit his knee, I thought, there's just no way. Those are breaks that you don't. That just happened, and it's not your day. It's not to say that Maryland's better, because everybody in the country knows Maryland's not better than Illinois, but today they were, because Illinois was flat. And it had nothing to do with Terrence Shannon, had nothing to do with, you know, the players didn't want to be there. You had 9 teams in the top 10 in the country lost. They knew what was at stake. I knew they did. It just didn't happen.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I mean, there really are. There was a lot of moments, you know. There were two or three times when we saw like three Illinois guys around the ball and somehow none of them could grab it, and it would ricochet off to a Maryland player. And those losing those, it's not an effort thing. It's just, you know, you got to get your hands on it and secure it. A couple of those. And then you talked about, you know, the bunnies in the lane, which Guerrier, I mean, there were a lot of guys who missed him, But and then, you know, Harmon missed on shots. He has been hitting recently, the wide open threes. It was just everybody kind of contributed a little bit. And you just, you know, you have to make sure that on days like that, you take the ball to the basket. And that's what Maryland did. And that's why they had 52 points in the lane to Illinois 26. And it's a lot easier to, it's a lot easier to score when you're in the paint, putting the ball down. And that was what Maryland did today. Any other thoughts on this before we kind of go into a little bit of recruiting?
Well, the one thing I'll say, Mike, real quick, you just said what I was going to say. I just want to emphasize a little bit. For me, from a coaching standpoint, when my shots aren't falling, I just think you got to get to the rim. You have to draw contact. Illinois is one of the top free throw shooting teams in the country. I know that's hard for people to probably gather, yeah. And I hope you don't drive off the road hearing me say that, but they are. You know, the reason I like that is because, one, the clock stops. You continue to score. You get them in foul trouble, regardless of who it is, but you have to continue. You have to continue to attack the baskets, because shots are not always going to fall. You don't want to let teams take things away from you, what you're good at. And so if your shots aren't falling, you get through and you make them call fouls. Because Marcus Thomas can draw fouls. And I mean, again, the officiating wasn't so bad to where they were not calling obvious fouls. Yeah, they may miss some, but so what? That happens. That's probably the one thing I would do different if it was me. I would have drawn plays up. I would have got to the rim. I would have got Dame on the block. Might not have made his free throws, but he would have got them in foul trouble.
Yeah, and there was some I mean, you know, the part where I get frustrated is when fans say, well, they aren't trying. You know, and there were different times, you know, where you saw there's one possession where Illinois had they had like four missed shots on the same possession. You know, yeah. I mean, you would just see that. I mean, and that means these guys are they're hustling. That means they're going after the ball. And to be honest with you, you know, that was around the 10-minute mark. You know, you had Justin Harmon missed a shot. You know, I'm sorry. You know, and you end up having Harmon missing a layup, and then Ty Rogers got the offensive rebound, then he missed the layup. Then Harmon got the ball back. Luke Goody missed the, you know, I mean, it's just like Luke Goody missed a three-pointer, but he got it back and got it over to Justin Harmon. He missed a three-pointer. Coleman Hawkins got it, and then Ty Rogers finally scores. You know, I mean, there were more than one possession where you had that. So, and they didn't always end up with Illinois scoring. So you would watch that and you'd say, okay, the guys are hustling, but goodness gracious, it looks like somebody put a lid on top of the basket, and they're just not going to hit much. And I think that's always that's a tough thing. And then, of course, we also had at the end of the game in the handshake line, it looked like Tim Anderson didn't shake Reese's hands, and Reese got mad and started talking. Of course, we know the Reese family has a history of getting mad and saying things after games. From what you were saying, there was a lot of, let's say, chatter going on during the game.
So, I mean, if you played the game, I mean, even if you haven't, that's irrelevant. I should apologize for saying that. Trash talking is a part of the game. And not every team does it. Some people, some do. Maryland is pretty good at it, and Illinois is pretty good at it. You know, they do a lot of it. And today, there was a play during the game today, and it didn't involve Reese, but there was a three-pointer made by Maryland, and I don't remember. It was a freshman, left-handed kid, knocks on the three in front of the Maryland bench. And if you go back and watch the replay late in the second half, this kid was 2 of 16, you know, prior to making this, you know, that three-pointer. And he went down the court, and he said something to the Illinois coaches. And I knew it was to the coaches because he hadn't got to the bench yet, because Illinois has 45 coaches, so he hadn't got to the bench yet. So there was trash talking. I don't know about the handshake. I'm going to have to do some investigation on it. But if people think it doesn't happen, they're kidding themselves, because teams do it, players do it, and they do it to coaches. I mean, I don't remember who it was early. I think it was maybe it was Coleman early in his year where he got technical fouls taunting the other opposing team's benches. So knowing the fact that it happens, it's a part of the game. Illinois was probably frustrated, because it's a bad loss. I'm just going to tell you, we can talk all we want about missing shots. This loss stinks because you had a chance to win a Big Ten title. Now that it's over, but you're going to have to go somewhere and win. You can slip up on the road. Say they went to Michigan, Mike, and slipped up. Okay, not the end of the world. But if you're going to be one of the teams, you can't lose at home. You know, now they're back even with Purdue to me. So, because Purdue lost Northwestern, you know, but Purdue's a favorite. So, having said that, it's part of the game, not one that I like, but trash talking is always going to be there.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Now, in terms of recruiting, there was a big-time recruit there out of Texas, Bryce Dixon, who goes to the Colony High School. What contact have you had there?
Great. You know, he's on a visit right now for people who don't know, and I'm not going to spill all the beans. This is a business for us, and we want you to subscribe, you know, to IlliniGuys.com. And, you know, he talked to me about the visit, what he thought about the coaches. And I love the quote, and I'm throwing a teaser out there, that he gave about Darren Williams and knowing the fact that he's there. I will say the one cool thing about it he mentioned was the fact that there's tons of pictures at the Colony, Texas, of Darren and his success at Illinois and in the NBA and, you know, his career. So big-time recruit, he's there with his mother. They really, really they had a good time, but I can say to you, I mean, there were some good things that he said to me that he liked and, you know, about his career and how it ties in with Darren Williams. So if you want to read that stuff, go to Alana Guys. That's one of the reasons, you know, we work our behinds off to give you that inside information.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, it's good to hear that. He is, I had a chance to see him play, 6'4", only 15. He's a 2026 guard. Very nice, very soft touch, particularly mid-range jumper, 14 to 17 feet. He can obviously shoot the three. Being that he's so strong, he does every once in a while have to guard guys on the inside, does a decent job there, but is also capable of, with his lateral speed, of going out and guarding guys at 20 feet who are much smaller and quicker, you know, you would think than he is. And he uses his size really well. So I think, you know, it's obviously early in the recruitment. We don't know where everybody's going to decide to go and what they're going to want to do, but boy, he would be a fantastic fit with the Illini basketball team. Would be an excellent asset. So now, as we talk here, Ted, any other thoughts on Bryce?
You know, I will say just real quick with him, you know, he basically, he has some other offers, and he's a 26, and there's going to be some bigger schools come after him. But he would be a nice get if Illinois was able to land Jeremiah Fierce, who's a 6'2 guard. You got Jace Butler, who's a 6'4 guard, big guy. And then in 26, you followed it up, you know, with Bryce. So, I mean, the backcourt would be nice to have, and they're young, and then you could blend them in with a couple transfers and let these kids develop. And the kid I didn't mention was Javon Gibbs-Lawhorn. So I don't want people to forget about him and think that he's lost in the shuffle, but it's a nice backcourt, and they will secure that backcourt for the future.
Yeah. So now we've got Brad Sturdy jumping on live here on the podcast. Mr. Sturdy, you were there. Give us your impressions of this loss to Maryland, 76-67, at the State Farm Center.
Well, I guess Illinois was not immune to the top 10 loss thing. It seems like almost every top 10 team lost this week, sometimes twice. So it just goes to show you have to bring it every game. And you can say Maryland's not that good. They're actually a very talented team. But they just haven't played as well as they probably should have. I thought they played well today, and when they play well, they're going to have a chance to win. But yeah, you know, this is just it wasn't a good game. Illinois did not play well. They didn't play with energy. They didn't execute defensively or offensively. And then in the second half, they shot 9 out of 40. At one point, they were 3 for 22, and then they got hot and finished 6 of 18. So you know, it's pretty. They were 1 of 14 from three in the second half. I mean, I don't care. Even if you play really well, it is almost impossible to win shooting 9 out of 40 from the floor. I mean, it really is. And you can say it's, you know, you can make all these things, should have done this, should have done that. Eventually, you just have to make some shots. And that's just reality in basketball. If you don't make shots, you're going to do this. You want to know the scariest part for me, Mike, is Illinois scored over 1 point per – this is a really grinder, slow game. And Illinois scored over 1 point per possession. And despite that fact, and even though they shot 9 of 40 in the second half, because they had some offensive rebounds as well, and they got to the line and made their free throws again. So, yeah, if you shoot, 30%, what would that be? I mean, you 12 out of 40, now you win. So, I mean, it's just a simple little game. I mean, make a few layups, you have a chance to win. They didn't do that. They lost, and Maryland had a guy who shoots 8% from three step up and drain a three and they down the stretch. And they had a guy who shoots 17% from three step up and drain a three down the stretch. And Illinois has guys shooting 40% who look like they were throwing it at the rim.
Yeah, it was some really, really rough shooting by the Illini. We had kind of hoped that they were past that, but these are college kids and obviously even, the pros have cold days. The concerning thing for me that Ked and I kind of talked about is I think today I love Coleman Hawkins, and in this podcast, we're some of his biggest backers. I don't know that he's the guy to guard the aircraft carrier type centers. And I thought Reese played well, and I thought he also got a little bit of the Edie treatment. And I don't like Coleman guarding Edie and Reese in the paint one-on-one by themselves, and I think that was a tough matchup for Coleman.
Well, it is. I don't think there's any question about that. I think, and you know, I thought overall, you know, Reese had his points, but he had a lot of touches, had a lot of shots. You know, try and make it as difficult as you can on him. But Coleman's, that's not him. I mean, he's more of a, you know, he's really a four playing the five.
Yep.
And that's fine. But on the offensive end, you know, he's got to be more productive to counteract that, if that makes sense. He's got to be that connector. He's got to make those, you know, spaces, you know, pick and pop five to be successful. And I don't think we saw that. I was not saying Maryland has length, versatility defensively. They're able to switch and get some mismatches. And Illinois doesn't have the one guy who can just get a shot whenever they want it, in like they did when they had Terrence Shannon. So this was a game when they missed him, just missed him, the ability to get transition buckets, get out and run the floor. And it was really the first game where we've seen them, you know, have that. And I think the other part where they missed Shannon was guarding Jameer Young.
Yes.
They just could not connect with him. And I don't know if you realize this, Mike, but did you know Jameer Young goes to his left a lot and he likes to shoot a left-handed floater? Evidently, it's the first time we've ever heard of that.
Yes.
Because he did it over and over. And the weird part about it is, you know as well as I do that that's in the scouting report. And he's at he and Reese are the top two on the scouting report. And so you know they scouted it, they talked about it, and they just let it happen over and over. And that's just not being like locked in, dialed in, focused. I mean, this team was the opposite of the team that we saw maybe against Missouri or Northwestern. Actually, Northwestern is a great example because Northwestern, although, you know, they're not probably as talented, they do have a guard like Boo Booey who's, you know, really good guard. Illinois did a much better job on him. Well, why? Because they were connected. They read the scouting report, got him into spots where it's tough. Maryland had, I think it was, 54 points in the paint or 52 points in the paint. They hit four threes, and they made 12 free throws. That means every basket was either a three or in the paint the entire game. They did not take a 15-foot, 17-foot, 18. They didn't take any tough twos, which is what Illinois tries to promote on defense, and they did not promote it. They basically forced them into layups. And they made more. You know, on the other hand, Illinois was forced into layups and they consistently missed them, shooting 9 of 24 at the rim.
Right, right. And that was scary. What happened after the game, Brad? We saw a little bit of a dust up. It looked like maybe, the way it's being portrayed now is that Tim Anderson wouldn't shake Reese's hand. And then things got a little bit, you know, heated.
Yeah.
Did you see or hear any of that?
Yeah, so what I saw was, so Reese had been, for those of you who don't know, he had been talking to the Illinois bench virtually the entire game. I don't know what he said. I couldn't quite hear what he said, but he said, made some comments and to Hawkins and a couple other people. Whatever, it's part of the game, right? Although if it would have been like, remember Hawkins got a T at Indiana last year? Would have been, would have been a technical last year. But anyway, regardless. So then Tim didn't shake his hand. He had a thing. Then Harmon and actually Young kind of got in a little testiness. So actually the guy who got in the middle was Dante Scott, who kind of broke him up and said, oh, we got, it's all good. It's all good. And he got everybody apart. So yeah, it was interesting. But the one thing I would say is like, I wish they had shown that competitive fight while the game was going on, you know, and sometimes that's what you do when you didn't maybe have your best stuff and didn't give the best effort. And so you come out and you've got a little bit of, you're like, you got a little edge after the game because you know you screwed up. And Illinois didn't have a good game, didn't have energy, didn't play well. Not the end of the world. Now they got to come back and play well the next couple games. They got a game at Michigan and a game with Rutgers at home next weekend. And these are games they can win. The other thing I don't think we understand too is, there isn't the same, and I know that, you know, can't lose home game. Man, the home games when the students are not there are just different animals than the home games when the students are there and present, fired up. And this is two games in a row, I feel like, you know, you look, they haven't had students against Fairleigh Dickinson, Northwestern, Michigan State, and now Maryland. And it's really been kind of a, you know, Northwestern was a little bit decent atmosphere just because they won by 1,000. But the other games have really been really sterile. You know, I mean, and I hate to say that. They've got just enough energy to give teams energy on the road, but they don't have enough energy to, like, promote. And it's not anybody's fault. It's just the way the schedule breaks out. I think you're going to see a different – you know, I think they'll have more energy the next time when the crush is there. And also the other part about it is, and Underwood mentioned this post-game on Friday – about Friday. You know, they had a disjointed day because they all went down to the Shannon hearing, you know, and they wanted to support their teammate, or five of them did. Practice was a mess. It's just – there's something that wasn't connecting today. This is a team, you saw them bickering on the court a little bit. You saw, you know, I think Coleman and Luke kind of got into it a little bit. Not really, just Coleman, like, you know, was complaining about the offense they were running and things like that. What are we doing? You know, things like that. Trying to call one play, the bench would call a play and he would try and run a different play. They were disconnected today. You know how they always have said all year they've been connected? Today was not that day. And there's a variety of reasons that you could say, but every team is going to have a bad day during the season, a really bad day when they just don't play well, that they just don't connect, it doesn't work. And you just got to make it one day, one game instead of two or three.
Yeah, no, it was, like I said, there was a lot of disjointed stuff. The offense just never got untracked in the second half. There were some strange, you know, plays where, you know, somebody would lose their man and then they would go to double team their man, but forget to tell the person who had their man that they were coming, you know, which resulted in, you know, a thunderous dunk, you know, here and there. And then there was some action on the backside of the offense that was causing some issues. So, There was definitely a game where it seemed like, I got to be honest with you, when you shoot 22% in the second half, I'm actually, they were lucky they only lost a half by 11 points.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just awful. Yeah. I mean, you just can't shoot that bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just can't shoot that bad consistently if you want to, if you want to win. And you know, if you shoot 22%, you're probably going to lose in the second half. And the other thing is also you have to find a way to be successful in other ways. And I don't think they did that today. And they don't have Damask had 26 points, which is fine. I still thought he was making, I had five turnovers, so he wasn't the most efficient. But here's the thing. When Guerrier is 0-for-7 and Harmon is 0-for-6 in the second half, they combine to shoot 0-for-13. Those are guys that you're counting on. Hawkins finishes the game, 2-for-7 or something like that. And Goody hit those three early threes, and then he had one basket out of the next seven shots. So when you start looking at what they did, I mean, you know, we can say this or the other. Illinois is a team that had been really good offensively because of balance once Shannon went out. And they didn't have that today. It became like, I'm relying on Damask to do everything. And I don't think that's a role that he's going to be successful in long term. Now, that doesn't mean he can't score 30 sometimes, but he scores 30 because the other guys score 15, and he does it efficiently because they get 15 out of this guy, and 15 out of this guy, and 15 out of this guy. And they just didn't have that today.
Yeah, and I thought the other thing, you know, when you look at the way the team played, you know, Damask ended up in having some challenging turnovers. At the same time, I think – There were some guys who weren't the most confident about, like, making a cut to get open, because, you know, when you've missed your last seven shots, that also mentally wears on you as well.
Oh, there's no question. You start missing shots and it becomes one of those things where I'm going to miss. You hesitate, you pull, don't pull. You know, the only guy who was really hunting shots today was Goody. He was trying to get shots off, you know, I mean, because he felt good. I mean, even Damask, I thought, you know, I know he took 13 shots in the second half, but some of those were late when they're trying to go quick.
Yep.
I thought he passed up. He'd have a post-up situation. He could have shot that little, you know, the fadeaway that he likes to shoot, and he just wouldn't do it, and he just passed it out. And then there's late shot clock, and we got, you know, whoever, like, you know, Ty Rogers having the ball at the end of the shot clock trying to make a play. And that's not what you want.
I was surprised with the bigger size of Reese that Dane didn't get a little bit more tick. especially with Harmon being cold. But Dane ended up, you know, going 3 for 4 from the free throw line. I thought my TV was broken. And then the other thing was, is, you know, he had that little little steal that he got, you know, in front of the offense there, you know, about 20 feet out. And I was like, what just happened here?
Yeah, he did all right. I mean, he did better, but defensively, I mean, he comes in and it was a layup line both ways. I mean, even when he wasn't in, to a certain extent, but when he comes in, they just really exploit him in those ball screen coverages. He just has to get better at defending it. Honestly, he's much worse than he was a year ago. He doesn't look as conditioned as he was a year ago to me. I could be wrong. Maybe it was that quad issue he had preseason. He just never got back into the same thing. But he really struggles in those ball screen coverages and defensively. And, you know, one thing Illinois did do during this game, people say, well, they didn't make adjustments. Actually, the biggest adjustment they made was they went to switching everything. That was much more effective defensively when they start switching everything. Now, there are a couple times they're going to score, and you force Jordan Geronimo, an 8% three-point shooter, into a corner three, and he made it. And then so, you know, sometimes that happens. But I do think that they made that adjustment. Instead of going over the top of those screens, they were switching them, and it created a mismatch. But Reese didn't really hurt them when they get that switch and mismatch, and that's one of the keys for Illinois because they have a positional size. They can make that and still be okay. I thought they probably should have, when they doubled, instead of just showing help, I think they should have doubled harder.
I agree.
Off of some of the guys. Some of the guys on the weak side, some of those shooters, like a Geronimo, or like, you know, the guards, or not Scott and Young, obviously, although Young didn't shoot the ball well from the perimeter, but why did he have to? He could get to the rim and shoot a layup every time. So, right. But I thought they should have done maybe been a little more, every once in a while, especially, just change what they're doing on the defensive end. I think it becomes the one thing about them, you rely on your guys to be great individual defenders, and that's fine, but they don't have, when you take a Terrence Shannon out of the game, who is like arguably one of the best perimeter defenders in the country, I think you have to change a little bit the way you defend. And that, you know, they went from a couple years ago, remember 2 years ago when they had Trent Frazier, they could do things that they probably couldn't do a year ago. And I think they're in the same boat this year.
Right. Right. Yeah. And a final thought on Maryland, I thought they played an awful lot, like we were told at the start of the year when they were ranked so highly, but I thought they played an awful lot like Michigan State was supposed to play, you know, with that size and, you know, the point guard who could, you know, dictate pace, et cetera. A couple other things, Brad, can you give, you know, listeners a little bit of update on Mr. Moretti and, Monty Hansberry?
Yeah, Hansberry's still out. I'm a little concerned about the, you know, back spasm going on for almost 2 weeks now. That's obviously not a great thing. But Moretti's back in practice. I'll tell you what happened today was you have a guard from Maryland, a small guard who's really good, and Moretti would have had to been matched on him. And everybody else on that team has good size. And so putting Moretti in this game after not playing for, you know, almost, you know, what, 8 weeks, 7 weeks or whatever, would be a really difficult match. I think you'll see him match up more. I think he could play against Michigan on Thursday because I think they have some smaller guards and they'll have a better matchup there. So many times he doesn't, you know, especially with a guy you just haven't seen play in weeks, it wasn't a great matchup for him. Now, if maybe Michigan and even Rutgers could be better matchups, you know, down the road. I think Michigan more than Rutgers. So I think he's just going to have to ease his way back in and kind of get back in the flow a little bit. But, you know, I think and same with Draven Gibbs LaHorn. You know, when in the first half, you were cooking offensively. I know people say, oh, well, they weren't that good off. They scored 39 points in the first half. They scored like 1.385 points per possession in the first half. Insane number. Against that defense. The problem was in the second half, they missed all the shots and so forth. But if you haven't played a guy in the first half because he isn't going to help you defensively. He's more of a guy who could come in and bring you instant offense. Well, in the second half, you haven't played him for 30 minutes and now you're going to throw him into the game. That's not fair to him. So there's something to be said for that. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, I think they need to work those guys in. I think Amani can help. if he can get back, and I think Moretti can help just and provide a little depth and change of pace. The weird part is a lot of people are worried about conditioning and fatigue, and you know, I don't know, were they worried about fatigue when Johnny Newton was playing like every snap at the end of the year? He looked pretty good. I don't know. These are finely conditioned athletes. They're fine. You know, they play like in the NBA, they play this many minutes and they play like four games a week, you know? And so this is like, you just have to, they're only playing two games a week. And they just, they'll be fine. I don't think it's a huge conditioning issue that everybody's worried about.
Yeah. And Young played all 40 minutes and he seemed just fine at the end. So, you know, yep.
That's part of it. Now I think there, that's a good point. Like sometimes, and there are certain guys like Dane probably couldn't play all 40 minutes. You know, Kofi couldn't play all 40 minutes very often because it was hard. You know what I mean? It's hard for bigger guys.
Right.
But those little guards, I mean, those guys run around all day. That's what they do, and they can play forever. So.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And then any quick summary on the events on Friday at the court in Springfield?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a court case, so we just sat there and took notes. No, not allowed to video or, you know, audio record it. No phones, anything like that. The only weird part about that was I didn't have a watch on, so I had no idea what time it was till I got out to the car, downstairs to get my phone. It's like, oh, okay. So, but yeah, I thought both sides gave good arguments. Illinois basically wanting to protect their own process more than they did a really good job of protecting the process as opposed to attacking Terrence Shannon, you know, in this situation. And I thought Shannon's lawyers did a good job of kind of attacking the process as opposed to the University of Illinois in general. So I think so that was good. There's some interesting things. It'll be interesting to see what the judge comes up with, because I think it could go either way in the sense that as far as having a hearing for an injunction, I doubt the TRO is passed where he gets to play right away. I guess it could happen, but I just think that probably that will not pass. I do think there's some question about the process. And even the judge did mention that, that there is some questions about the process that was handled, the Title IX and so forth. So is there enough? I don't know. I think they both made their points, and it's going to, how she interprets it, how she interprets the law, how she interprets this case. And, you know, we won't know till she rules, and everybody's going to have a, you know, people will be mad at this or mad at that. But the reality is I thought she asked really good questions. I thought the judge was really intelligent, very sharp. You don't get there unless you are. And I think she, you know, she asked the right questions, and she's going to make an informed decision.
Okay, good. So there's a little bit of a Terrence Shannon update. And I tell you, there's a lot of moving parts here, and boy, it'd be great to have him back. I've kind of come to the conclusion that, and maybe I'm a little too negative as being an old Illini fan, I've kind of come to the conclusion that if somehow they can't get the facts straight and get the case dismissed down in Lawrence, it's going to be a tough road to getting back in uniform. But I hope I'm wrong, and I hope you know, maybe there's calmer heads will prevail. Maybe this thing can, you know, they can get to the truth and move on. Any other thoughts, Brad, as we kind of wrap up this podcast?
Last thing I would say is just, you know, you got to beat Michigan now and Rutgers, and you take care of those games and, you know, kind of move on. It's never easy. I mean, Purdue's already lost twice in the Big Ten. You say you lost at home, which is obviously bad, but now you got to win a road game to make up for it. And like when they won at Rutgers and so forth. And this team's going to have ups and downs. They are not the same team they were, you know, 3 weeks ago. It's just that simple. I thought they were probably when they were playing Missouri, I'm not sure they weren't the best team in the country at that point. And they're just not at the same level now. That doesn't mean they're not really good. They have less margin for error. And you can't have a day when you don't have the effort and energy and intensity. And when you have that day, you're going to lose. And that's where they were at today. So you take care of the business next game. I will say, you know, the defending women's champion, LSU, just lost their second game. They lost today to Auburn, an unranked team. So, and we saw like 8 or 9 top 10 teams lose this week. It's just, it's crazy. I mean, college basketball is wild. If you don't bring it right now, you can lose any game you play. I mean, there's no game on the Illinois schedule that they couldn't lose. Now they're still favored in all but like three of their games the rest of the year. So now you just got to go out and take care of business, and maybe you steal one of the ones you were supposed to lose.
Right. Yep. No, I think that's fair. Ted, did you have any final comments before we wrap up here?
I think this was an amazing podcast. We covered everything from the game, from the recruiting, and I got some good quotes, and Brad addressed the game, and we, even though he didn't hear what we said, it was kind of the same thing, and we got the legal action with Terrence Shannon. This is, you got to promote this as one of the top podcasts ever. This was some good information today. I'm interested, and I was a part of it.
Well, that's a great advertisement. Of course, folks, if you want to stay in the know on what's going on with the Illini, go to IlliniGuys.com, and you can see right there on the front page. You can go ahead and sign up. It's $99 a year. You got 7 days to kick the tires, and we don't charge you until the seventh day. So, you know, go back into the message boards for 6 days. See what you think. Most of the people stick around. We'd love to have you. We'll be right back after these messages.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know, be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting. IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. We appreciate you. And of course, we appreciate Brad and Ked for stopping by and giving us their feedback on the game today. We'll be back for the Michigan game. That will be on Thursday night. Until then, go Illini.